Hello, Grinders, and welcome to The Weekend Grind. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here with a new person that you guys haven't heard. His name is Will. He goes by Chief Justice on Roto Grinders, Chief Justice 06. If you haven't checked it out, you know, he's ranked number 77 grinder, 62 heavyweight. He's been to two live finals. Pretty smart DFS player, and he's going to, you know, kind of talk about the slate with us this weekend. So, you know, as you're listening, give him a nice round of applause. Here he is. Will, how's it going over there?
Man, it's going great, man. Happy to be here, ready to dive into the slate.
Yeah, excited to have you. Real quick, you know, where can we find you on Twitter? I'm at Travis Mangone. It's TravisMangone. But where can we find you for the people so they can find your content, find your opinions, and maybe ask you some questions
sometimes? Oh, man, Mangone, you're going to think I'm head chopper. I actually don't even use Twitter. How about that?
Oh, man, you don't use Twitter?
I'm throwback, man. I'm throwback. Reach me by email.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, you don't got it. You know, I guess we won't be getting you. Maybe one day we'll be able to convince you to get on it. But happy to have you here. And man, that's crazy. The DFS Twitter world is too much fun not to be a part of, man. between the draft cheat trolling and the, you know, the fun we always have with Siege on Twitter and just all the fun stuff that happens, man, that's crazy. But hey, all good. You know, old school kind of guy, and obviously we'll have to, you know, people will just have to listen to you here to you know, get your thoughts and opinions. So let's dive right in. We're gonna go game by game, guys. We'll talk obviously FanDuel, DraftKings. We'll just kind of discuss the slate, go game by game breakdown for you. We are talking about the main slate, so if you're looking for any early slate content, you know, that's over there somewhere else on RotoGrinders. I'm sure you can find some type of early slate information. Ready to dive in, Will?
I am ready.
All right, first game we have up here, we have Rich Hill versus Max Scherzer. This is the Los Angeles Dodgers against the Washington Nationals, and man, like, this is a game that we looked at yesterday, today technically we're doing this the night before, but we were all interested in Max Scherzer against the Dodgers on Friday. I'm assuming we'll be all interested in him again on Saturday. Is he the cash game pitcher and like probably the best raw points pitcher on this slate for you, Will?
Absolutely, especially with this Dodgers lineup. I don't know, you know, how you feel about hot and cold streaks, but I'm a big believer in that. And these Dodgers haven't done anything this season that have terrified me against Max Scherzer. I mean, if you look at the numbers, Max is striking out righties at a whopping 44.7%, lefties at 27.5%. He does give up a little bit of hard contact. And does have a little bit of a fly ball tendency at times. But this Dodgers lineup is nothing that I'm going to be afraid of. I mean, even if you look at the top of this lineup, Taylor, Peterson, Turner, Grandal, Bellinger, I mean, these guys have been striking out a fair amount this year. I was watching the Dodgers-Miami game on Thursday, and I was listening to one of the commentators. He said, you wouldn't believe this. If Miami wins today, them and the Dodgers are going to have the exact same record. That tells you how bad this team has been playing. So I'm all in on Max Scherzer and cash games. I don't think, you know, I have to give you too much analysis there. He's the king of the hill right now.
Yeah, I mean, the stat I saw on Twitter that I thought was interesting about how bad the Dodgers are was if the Dodgers, you know, if they go 600 the rest of the way, you know, they win 6 out of 10 games, you know, the rest of the way, of every 10 games, they win percentages 600, they'll win 88 games on the season only. Like, that's just how bad they've been. Like, you would think if you won, like, 6 out of your 10 games the rest of the year, you'd be better than 88 wins. But, yeah, no, they have been bad. That is definitely a fact, and I think we can target them here. I mean, if you look at the, you know, pull up the plate IQ, yeah, the K percentage is at, you know, where is it at? 20% against righties, 20.4%. But, hey, this is Max Scherzer, some guy who's matchup-proof, right? And you got a guy like Justin Turner, who is obviously good, but, you know, that 11% K, it might be a little lower than it should be, bringing some of it down with the new sample size. But I don't know. I just think this is a spot where we have to be targeting Max. He's the best pitcher on the mound, probably the safest guy, and definitely a great option to pay up for. So I'm kind of all in on Max right now. The only debate on maybe not going a guy like Max Scherzer would be, you know, if you want to go to Severino or Pax, I think that's obviously going to be something that's in the discussion. So we'll kind of, you know, kind of have to see how that all shapes up and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you need the savings, obviously Severino would be a great pivot, and Paxton, it looks like he's going to be a sub 10K today. Definitely someone we can look at when we get there, but if you had to tell me an automatic 10 strikeouts on this slate, I think you have to look at Max Scherzer.
Yeah, and it's weird. Actually, I don't know if this game is for sure on the slate. It's at 8:05, and it's got Rorick and Hill. It's on the slate, but for some reason they have Rorick in there on the FanDuel and DraftKings. I believe Scherzer's going to be in there and not Rorick. We on our Rotogrinders page, we have Scherzer, but I'm seeing Rorick in some other spots. But I don't know. I guess give it right. If Rorick's in there, would you have any interest in the Dodgers offense? Or probably not. Like you said, they haven't been that great this year, and we'd probably pass on them. Rorick's pretty efficient too, but I don't know what they're doing with the pitchers, and obviously recording the night before, sometimes that can be a bit confusing. So kind of agree. I mean, that's obviously not like Max Scherzer, but if Rorick's in there, you probably wouldn't want to be targeting this offense, this Dodgers offense that much anyways, correct?
No, not at all. I just, at this stage in the game with the Dodgers being ice cold, I just don't want to invest any virtual salary into the Dodgers until they heat up.
All right. Now, what about Rich Hill on the opposite side? He's an interesting guy. Obviously, we got the Dodgers bullpen to worry about. We have the pitch count to worry about, the finger. I mean, he's just got a whole lot going on there against the Washington Nationals. Do you have any interest in that, him or this Nationals offense?
Well, this was 2 or 3 years ago. I'd actually love Rich Hill, guy that typically has a pretty substantial K rate, but just so many injuries have plagued this guy over and over, a splinter here, a splinter there. Rich Hill is just someone I don't want to invest in. I'm not as afraid of the Washington offense as most, especially with, Daniel Murphy being out and all of the injuries that have plagued them. But Rich Hill is just so unreliable. He's not going to have a high pitch count. For one, and he's not going to get a lot of run support here. So I just don't have any interest in Rich Hill on this slate.
Yep, same with me. No interest, right? Unless I hear there's like this amazing pitch count or something, but I don't know. I think I'm going to stay away and just find some cheaper options instead. Ready to go on to the next game?
Absolutely.
All right, next game on the slate, we have the San Diego Padres and the Pittsburgh Pirates. This is Clayton Richard against Nick Kingham. And, I see a little bit of red on the Rotogrinders thing. I don't know what the weather is, and this is way ahead. So we'll obviously not worry about weather too much. But just breaking this game down, I mean, my first thought when I saw this game was, hey, Nick Kingham, he's been pretty good so far to start out. I don't know much about him. The price is up on FanDuel at $8,600. Which is kind of crazy to me. And then on DraftKings, he's a pretty nice price tag. Let me see. $7,600 over there. So my first thought was, I saw the Padres and I said, hey, we like the stream right-handed pitchers against the Padres. Nick Kingham, kind of an interesting play, more so on DraftKings. I think of that $7,600 price tag where you have to play two pitchers. What's your take on Kingham here? Do you have any interest in him, or do you know more about him than I do? Because he's been good so far, but I don't know. I'm not willing to pay some of this price completely on him, I don't think, but the matchup's great.
Well, on FanDuel, with his price being, a whopping $8,600, I'm just not sure if I want to invest in him, especially if Scherzer happens to take the mound. Now, if Scherzer's not going to play, and I know I'm basing a lot of this on Scherzer, but he's going to be the biggest name out there tomorrow. If Scherzer doesn't play, then I do have a little bit of interest in Kingham. You look at this Padres lineup, Jankowski, Hosmer, Perella, Cordero, Lopez. I mean, if you guys are pulling up plate IQ, I mean, you look at these strikeout rates, 22%, 21%, 36%, 32%. I've got a lot of interest in a guy that's striking out righties at a 43% clip. Even though they're going to run out a bunch of lefties at him, he's striking out lefties at about 50.5. I have no problems with that, especially with this depleted lineup. About the only guy that scares me here in this lineup is maybe Eric Hosmer. I know most people probably will think Franchi Cordero, but with Franchi's strikeout rate, Eric Hosmer is the only person that's going to scare me. In fact, he may be the only base runner most of the game. So don't have really any interest in the Padres lineup, but Kingham is definitely someone I think we can invest in, especially on DraftKings at that suppressed price of $7,600. We can stream pitchers all day against the Padres, and I think this is another good chance to do that.
Yeah, agree with you on that. What about on the opposite side, Clayton Richard? Any interest in him or some of these righties maybe? Like, I don't know, Maxwell Moroff has always been good to me. It feels like whenever I play this guy in my FanDuel cash lineup, whether it was this year or last year, whenever he's batting first and he's just cheap, it feels like he always ends up coming through for me. It's like always a winning night whenever Maxwell Moroff happens to fall on my teams. So I always get a really good feeling when I see that guy in my lineup. So, I think some of these righties against Clayton Richard are kind of interesting, though. I mean, he's just really cheap around the industry. industry, like FanDuel specifically. DraftKings still got a pretty good price. Josh Bell is a fun guy to roster too. You know, Francisco Cervelli, he's been hitting the ball pretty well. Catcher position, which is not fun to roster on DraftKings. We got to play someone. Do you have any interest in these Pirates bats?
Absolutely. I mean, Clayton Richard hasn't been as efficient this year as he's been in the past. If you look at his past starts over the past several seasons, he's a guy that's really relied on the ground ball rate. And while his ground ball rate may still be somewhat around, you know, 40-50%, he's really been just giving up the runs every single game. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about a few starts ago when he was pitching against Colorado. Maybe it was two or three starts, but, you know, Colorado's been so cold, and they lit this guy up for, I think, five or six runs in San Diego. So, you know, Clayton Richard is not someone I'm going to have a lot of interest in. I'm definitely going to want to invest in these Pirates bats. In fact, you know, one of my favorite Pirate bats is Cervelli, and I like him even more most times when he's in that six or seven spot. It suppresses the ownership. But Cervelli, Bell, I don't really like David Freese, but against Clayton Richard, you know, sign me up. Sean Rodriguez, he strikes out a fair amount, but he's got a little pop in his bat. And until Marte comes back, maybe we can get some Ozuna action tomorrow. Maybe they'll run him out and give him a few at-bats. So definitely have some slight interest in this Pittsburgh offense against Clayton Richard.
Yeah, I see you getting Ozuna in there, and I like him. He's obviously a good guy to roster, too. I mean, this could be a great spot for, like, a really cheap stack. Like, it could be that perfect stack that fits in with Max Scherzer, where you have all these cheap guys that you fill in, and then you still feel like you can get a pretty nice offense with them. So I love that. I think it's a good call. It's like, you know, one of the cheaper stacks that could be interesting on the slate. No interest in Padres, right? Want to just move on to the next game?
I do want to give one more quick tidbit, though, that will kind of boost up our leverage here with the Pirates. You know, the Pirates are averaging 5.5 runs at home versus 4.5 on the road. So a lot of times you look at this Pirates offense, they get really hot, and they've been hot at home. So, you know, just to kind of, you know, give you a little insight there, I really love this Pirates offense at home. So, yeah, that's all I want to plug in. We can move on to the next game.
All right, on to the next one. We got the Texas Rangers, the Chicago White Sox, and this was my favorite game to stack yesterday. Might be my favorite stack to, you know, go up against today. We got Lucas Giolito on the mound, a guy that I've been targeting this year. I'm probably going to continue to target him. Seems like a great spot to, you know, be targeting this guy. And then we got Ariel Girardo, and I don't know much about Ariel Girardo, but don't think he's going to be a guy that I, you know, am going to be playing or anything like that. I think it's someone that we could target again. I know he's a righty on the mound, but what's your take on this game overall? Is this a game where you're just going to load up on the bats again?
Yeah, definitely going to load up on the bats, and I think I've got a lot more interest on the White Sox here versus the Rangers. I mean, this Ariel Girardo, he hasn't been producing really much in double-A ball. I mean, it's got a K rate of 12.9%, walk rate of 5.7%, home run per nine is at 1.2. So, you know, he's not really anything that's going to, you know, make me stop and take a hard look. I know we like to stream pitchers against the White Sox, but this guy coming up from double-A to face this offense that's boom or bust, I think tomorrow would be a lot more boom than bust. So I got a lot of interest here in a White Sox offense that may go overlooked tomorrow on a slate that, you know, that might not provide as much offense.
Yeah, definitely struggle. Definitely someone that you know, has struggled in the past. Someone I want to target against. And here's the thing: we don't really know what his pitch count is, how stretched out he's going to be. It's obviously something to you know, monitor. And on top of that, if he's going to have this issue, right? You know, going out there and not having to be able to throw enough pitches, like, we get that Rangers bullpen. And I don't know about you, but I love that Rangers bullpen. It's definitely one that I target a ton. So I like this White Sox offense. Definitely want to be targeting. The one thing that's frustrating is Nick Delmonico. He's like a lefty that I would love for cheap in this lineup, but he got hurt today. He left the game, though. He's out for like 4 to 6 weeks now. So that's a little bit frustrating. But, you know, guys like Yoan Moncada, I'll have a lot of interest in him. He'll be someone that I look to roster. Still think I'll be going, you know, to guys like Yoelmer Sanchez. Again, he's another guy on the left side of the plate. Like Jose Abreu, even though he's better against lefty, sure, he's still a really talented hitter. So I think this White Sox offense will be one I want to get exposure to. And then on the opposite side against Giolito, I mean, I'll be all over Since You Chew again, Gallo, Mazzara. I mean, this is a great spot for these guys. Odor for cheap. I feel like we can't ignore this game. It's going to be one where I'm going to get cash exposure to and a lot of tournament exposure.
Absolutely. A lot of people don't like Texas. They do strike out a lot. So do the White Sox. But when they're hot, they're hot. And, you look at this offense, Chu, Mazzara, Gallo, Jerkson, Profar. When these guys make contact, the ball goes a very long way. And so I want to, try to get as much exposure to this game as I possibly can, especially with Giolito on the mound. He hasn't shown me anything that's going to make me intimidated by him. And so, you look all up and down this lineup, and they're starting to get a little bit more healthy, especially with Rougned Odor back in the lineup, back in that seventh spot. I just think this is a good offense to target. One of the more consistent hitters on this team has actually been Delino DeShields. If you watch the guy play, he gets a bunt, he gets on base, and then he's stealing two. Before you know it, he's got 15 points, 20 points. So I really think DeShields is going to be a difference maker here for this team tomorrow.
Yeah, and I'll just pull it up now. I mean, if Wellington Castillo's behind the plate, that's obviously going to give a bump to the Shields. But I'll just check to see what the stolen base upside is against him. And if you look in 8 starts in 2018, he's given up 11 stolen bases. And I'm sure Wellington Castillo is part of that. So great call on that. I think the Shields is going to be a guy we're going to want to get some cash game exposure to and tournaments too. I think this is a great lineup to target here. Have to love this game overall. I'm going to be all over it again. I was all over it today. I'm not going to miss out on it again on this slate. That about wrap it up. You want to move on to the next game?
Yep, let's move on to the next game.
All right, next one up, Milwaukee Brewers, Minnesota Twins. 8.5 total here. We got Freddy Peralta. Oh, man, that reminds me of Willie Peralta. Remember that gas can?
Absolutely.
Man, I miss him. I saw Peralta and got excited. But Freddy Peralta versus Fernando Romero. And, first take a look at this game. I mean, Romero's not that bad of a pitcher. He could actually, I think, have his way a little bit against this Brewers team. Not saying I mean, 6.4K is a nice price on drafting. I think that's an interesting like tournament option. But, Peralta, is he a guy we want to target? This game just feels like one of those games where I think these two pitchers might be able to just get the job enough done where I don't really want to target the offenses too much. Maybe take some guys as one-offs here and there. But just not like go crazy stacking it up. What do you think about this game overall?
Well, I mean, I don't know how much guys are a believer in first starts, but this Freddy Peralta guy, you give me a new pitcher going into Coors Field. I mean, this guy racked up 13 strikeouts, first start in the majors. I don't think that's going to be sustainable. I kind of checked a few numbers on him. And, of course, they were showing his K rate at a whopping 61%. That's obviously not going to be sustainable at all. But he had a really good outing on his first start. I think if you're looking for some savings, I definitely think Freddy Peralta is someone that you can take a look at. Not on DraftKings, he's 8,100, but on FanDuel at 6,600. I definitely think Peralta is someone that you can look at against this Twins offense. I don't like to pick on the Twins, but if you need the salary relief, I definitely think Peralta is someone you can invest in.
Yeah, so you're telling me a 52.4K to walk percentage isn't sustainable? No way that's gonna stick for the rest of his career?
I don't know if you watch any WWE, but no way, Jose.
Oh, I do watch WWE. You're a WWE guy too? I love the No Way Jose. Oh, man. Oh, that's going to be awesome. We're going to have to work some WWE references in here. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
we've
got to work something out, yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome to hear. Didn't know that. So, that'll be a lot of fun. If I can think of some along the way, I will drop some in. But, all right, yeah, let's keep going, though. Like, Peralta, like I said, I don't know. This just feels like a game where I don't mind these pitchers for cheap options. I think they're going to be really interesting guys to look at. I mean, if you look at Peralta, too, going against the Twins, if you want to target this Twins offense, if I told you, hey, lefties or righties, which pitchers would you rather? You'd rather a righty. And Peralta, he's a righty here. 26.6K percentage against righties for the Twins offense. This is a spot where I think Peralta could be really interesting for cheap. I also think Romero could be pretty interesting. Overall, it's just one of those games where I don't really love the offenses. Maybe if you guys want to take, guys that you think have a good shot at a solo shot here and there, sure, that's fine. But I don't know. It's one of these games I think is just going to go maybe like 4-1, 3-1, 3-2, just really low scoring game with these two younger talented pitchers kind of squaring off. So I don't think I need to just get exposure to these offenses that much. I don't know. Any prices stick out to you that specifically that you're seeing that you might want to take a shot on? Like Travis Shaw at 3.8K against Romero is kind of interesting. That's really cheap for Travis Shaw.
Yeah, I definitely think Travis Shaw. I mean, he's been seeing the ball really well recently. Been swinging a hot bat. I definitely think Travis Shaw is someone you can look at every day for now until he cools off. I mean, I think the Brewers scored, what, 7 or 8 or 9 runs yesterday, I think it was. So when I look at this team, I mean, he's the anchor of this team. If he's not doing well, a lot of times it just really kills the action. So I definitely always want to invest in Travis Shaw, especially against Fernando Romero. Doesn't scare me. You know, overall, I do like him as a young prospect. But, yeah, Travis Shaw is definitely someone we can look at this lineup.
Yeah, and one thing to remember, too, is, like, again, and I was looking at the FanDuel price when I saw 3.8. I thought it was DraftKings. I messed up on that. But,
oh, that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, 4.5 is still fine. Like, but the one thing to note with the just having righties in this park is the lefty power is suppressed in this park. It's better to be a righty here. And when those right-handed pitchers are in there against those righties, that's obviously good for them. So it's something to note, too. I just think it's a better spot to really look at these pitchers for cheaper and kind of take some shots on these guys instead. So like these guys, I think they're interesting tournament options that we can consider. Ready to move on to the next one?
Absolutely.
All right, next one up, we got the Baltimore Orioles and the Boston Red Sox. This is Dylan Bundy, man, the case of Dylan Bundy. That one start where he was a disaster, and then, you know, next start out, he was 5.5K on DK, and then he went off against Rick Porcello, right? Should be a really interesting game. I mean, Dylan Bundy, he's a guy that I'm buying in, I'm a believer in, but against the Red Sox offense, talk about this first, Will, because I think when you see the price on Bundy, right, on DraftKings, I mean, we're looking at 6.9K. I think it's a really interesting price tag to talk about, but this is the Red Sox offense, and I'm not in the business of targeting the Red Sox offense, especially Mookie Betts, who he talked about hot streaks. There's no one hotter than him right now. So yeah, what's your kind of take on this game?
Absolutely, especially, I mean, if you watched the game earlier, Mookie Betts pretty much was all of the Red Sox offense. Home run, double, home run. Oh, man, just an amazing player right now. I'll plug in something to the Siege. He's probably going to get my vote for MVP at the moment. Mookie Betts definitely has been teeing off. But, no, I don't want any parts of Dylan Bundy. He's just shown some inconsistency recently that I don't want to pick on with these Red Sox. I mean, top to bottom, this Red Sox offense is just really – really been effective, and a lot of it is they've been hitting for power. I mean, it's just a team that you look at their box score, just how many runs they score a day, 5, 4, 5, 6 almost every day, just autoplay. Betts, Hanley, JD, Xander, this lineup has just really been on fire. So Dylan Bundy's definitely not someone I have any interest in. If you hop on the other side there with Porcello, Porcello is someone that really started out the year hot. And, you know, it's really kind of cooled off as of late. But we know that this Baltimore offense strikes out a ton. And so Porcello is someone I definitely have a lot of interest in on this particular slate.
Yeah, I kind of have interest in Porcello, too. The only problem is it just feels like maybe it ends up being the wrong slate with all these, like, high-end pitchers that we'll get to a couple more. But I don't know. It seems like it might be the wrong slate. I think it's a solid spot for him, and there is some K upside. And if you want to play it, I think it's fine. I understand maybe taking a shot in tournaments. But I don't know. I just think there's other plays I'm going to gravitate to instead. On the opposite side, yeah, I'm not going to play any Bundy, not against this Red Sox offense. I might not go crazy with the Red Sox offense. I know they have a 5.51 implied total. But I don't know. It's like I don't know if I would just stack them up. They're so expensive. That's the only problem.
Yeah, this. I mean, I was looking at it the other day. I mean, and I'm primarily a FanDuel player. So, you know, when I'm looking at pricing, I see Mookie at 5.4. You know, that's a brand new pitcher coming into the fold. Benintendi, 4.3. Hanley, 4K. JD Martinez is 5.2K. Just an extremely expensive offense. And so just me, you know, looking at the slate overall, if I'm going to play this offense, I'm going to have to play Freddy Peralta or Fernando Romero. I'm not going to really have room to spend up. So definitely offense, you may want to take some one-offs. And if you think they, you know, light up Dylan Bundy for 15 runs tomorrow, then you may want to stack him and take your chances. But yeah, definitely offense we want to target. But like you said, very expensive. very expensive.
Yeah, or you know, get that Pirates stack in there, right? That cheap Pirates stack that we talked about a little bit. I mean, that could work. Yeah. I totally think that's a way you can make it work too. So play around with that, Will. If you know if you like the Red Sox enough, and you said you like the Pirates earlier, I think that's an interesting one to maybe pair up together. So and see what pitcher it kind of gets you, but should be interesting. Again, like yeah, the Red Sox are one of those offenses where like I'll never talk anyone out of playing them, but again, they're just kind of expensive, and it'll be tough to get a lot of these guys in your lineups. Anything else in this game? No interest in the Orioles bats. You want to just move on to the next one?
Yeah, let's just move on to the next one.
All right, we got the Arizona Diamondbacks, New York Mets, and I don't know if you know, I'm a New York Mets fan, so it pains me to watch this team play because they, you know, it just seems like every day someone's getting injured or something's going wrong. But yeah, we got Patrick Corbin on the mound against Steven Matson. This is like kind of a, you know, seven total. It's a really like low game. Expecting a pretty good, you know, Vegas is expecting a pretty good game from both pitchers. Arizona Diamondbacks 3.64 run total. The Mets at a 3.36. I think Mats is a really interesting cheap option that could have some upside here. And I also like Corbin here. I mean, this Mets offense is horrific. A lot of their better hitters are on the left side of the plate. Should be a great spot for both these pitchers. What else do you think?
I definitely have some interest in Patrick Corbin. And maybe I'm a little biased with the Mets pitching staff, but Steven Matz, I've just tried to avoid him until I feel like he's back to form. Now, he's had a few good starts this season. But just overall, he's just been a little bit too inconsistent for my taste for me to want to invest in him as a primary option. On DraftKings, you know, obviously, you know, maybe as an SP2 at 6,200, especially if you think this Arizona offense isn't going to score any runs and you're thinking the same thing as Vegas, I definitely think, you know, maybe there you can play him as an SP2. But on FanDuel, I just have no interest in Max. But a whole lot of interest in Corbin. This Mets team offense has shown a great ability to strike out a ton, especially recently. I remember I was watching a game where, you know, they ran out a bunch of lefties against God, what's the guy from Atlanta? Atlanta's my favorite team, by the way.
Oh, so we're rivals here. Yeah, I got to deal with your great offense for the next, like, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. Oh, this is going to be frustrating.
Yeah, and I'm not a bandwagon fan. I've been a fan, so I've been where you are right now. The Braves have been terrible for 10, 12 years now, so I'm not going to celebrate any World Series pennants yet. We still got to wait and see. But, I'm losing my train of thought with the Atlanta pitcher. But anyway, I ran him out there against this offense. I mean, he racked up 7 innings, 7 Ks. The Mets offense is just one I'm targeting right now almost every day. Speaking of which, give you a little insight into my game. I play Zach Golley tonight. That's how much I don't believe in this Mets offense right now. So, Patrick Corbin, definitely someone I think I'll have some interest in on tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you should. I think it's a game where you can just double stack the pitchers and it's fine. Like I did that today in one of my main tournament teams. I had DeGrom, I had Godley, loved it. Thought it was good. And I think you did that again with Corbin and Matz totally. The one thing I have an issue with Matz, and I've tracked this for a while. It was one of the things I stumbled upon messing around on Brooks Baseball, but he doesn't like throw the slider or fastball anymore. He just throws the sinker 66% of the time against lefties, against righties 57% of the time. And he throws a curveball and a changeup. Like he does not throw a fastball or a slider, and that was when he was successful. When he was throwing that slider was when he's most successful. When he lost that pitch, then it was downhill. He was still throwing his fastball last year, but that didn't do anything. I mean, that slider was important. He's thrown it 2% of the time this year against lefties and righties. He's starting to work it in. So until I see that slider back, I mean, I am still worried about Matt. Some people say it's because he was pitching with an injury last year, and that's part of the problem. I don't know. I get it. I think he's got really good stuff, and he can obviously be good on any game and have some nice games. Like he's done it there, right, against Washington, that 24 game against the Rockies. He had a pretty decent game getting 19 fantasy points. I think he'd obviously do it here, but I'm not expecting the old Steven Matz to arrive out of nowhere. If some people are just waiting for that to happen, waiting for the variants to come, I think he's going to have to gain these pitches back. That's just what I think. Sure, he could still have good games because I think he's a very talented guy, but with the pitches he's using, he's just very limited in my opinion. So that's what I feel on Matz. I think he's in play because of the price and because of that offense, that Arizona offense. They're kind of like the Mets right now. Kind of watered down, not that great. It's definitely, you know, a team where I think both these teams are just like really bad offenses that I want to kind of target a little bit. Obviously getting Jake Lamb back is going to be helpful, but he wasn't like really, he didn't have that many at bats down low, and they brought him up kind of quick in my opinion. So I don't know. And obviously lefty lefty, that's not going to be, you know, he could not even be in the lineup that day. But all in all, I think the pitching is interesting. I love Corbin. Think he's a really nice upside pitcher, has a really nice price tag on DraftKings at 10K, FanDuel at 10K. I think he's someone that we're going to look to target. Then on DraftKings at 11-3, he's still a fine play. But obviously, I'm still on Team Scherzer over him if I have to pick. You agree with me on that?
Absolutely. One quick tidbit, though. If I had to take anyone from this offense, I mean, I think it'd be Steven Souza against Steven Matz. You know, Souza's proven to be you know, somewhat of a lefty masher over his career at a very reasonable price, 2.3K on FanDuel. I think that's definitely someone you can look at for your cash games.
Yeah, definitely think Souza is a guy that'll certainly be in play. You know, he's been cheap around the industry, and he still remains cheap. So definitely someone that I think we could look to. You know, just don't want to go too crazy with this game, though.
Not at all.
All right, let's go on to the next one then. This is one that I would love to target, but who knows what the weather will be, because we've had weather with this team the past 2 days. First it was Atlanta in your spot. Now it's in Cincinnati. We got the Chicago Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds. We got Jose Quintana going up against Sal Romano. And, you know, first look, obviously, Jose Quintana at 7.5K. I mean, that's a great price tag on him on FanDuel. You know, have to like that price. DraftKings, he's at 7.4K. Still a great price tag. And this Reds offense is not a good offense. Seems like a good spot to target him. And the opposite side, Sal Romano. I mean, we get this Cubs offense in this really small ballpark. How do we not have interest in the Cubs? What's your thoughts on this game?
Man, I mean, you look at this Cubs offense. They've probably been my most frustrating team this year. Very inconsistent, but against Sal Romano, I mean, I have no issues rolling them right back out again. You know, if this offense starts to click, look out. They're probably going to be the same price as the Boston guys. But you got Rizzo here, who's been one of their most consistent hitters long-term. This year hasn't been as great as his batting average is down, but he had that back injury that kind of has hindered him this year. But, I mean, at third base here, Chris Bryant, one of the best hitters on this team. I mean, at this point, if the weather's okay, I mean, I feel like he's almost a lock button tomorrow against Sal Romano, who's going to have limited strikeout upside against Chris Bryant, who's really only striking out, I think, at about 17-18% this year. And so, yeah, this whole Cubs offense, top to bottom, Javi Baez strikes out a lot, but it's got a lot of power. So against Sal Romano, I've got no problems there. Schwarber, Almora, Ben Zobrist may be leading off possibly tomorrow. So I definitely have a lot of interest here in the Great American Small Park.
Yeah, and I know you said you're a hot streak guy too, right? Like Cubs, they got 8 runs today. So they're the hot streak starting possibly. I mean, it is the Reds and it is his ballpark. So I think there's reasons for that too. But I think we want to be getting on the Cubs now. Maybe when people are still worried to jump on them, but I want to be targeting Sal Romano. This is a great spot for a lot of those guys you mentioned. Definitely going to be loading up on Cubs as much as possible, as long as the weather holds. So let's hope for that. Any interest in Quintana? I didn't hear you mention him much, but I think he's kind of interesting. I think there's a lot of really good pitchers on this slate overall. A really interesting slate with pitching. So what do you think about him? Like, this Reds offense is one that, pull up the plate IQ right now. I'm trying to remember what their K percentage is. Last I looked, it was like 30%, I think, against lefties. Let's see if it's changed much. It's at 29.5% against lefties using 2017 and 2018 data. We use 2018, though, just to make sure. And it's at 33.7% against lefties. I mean, this Cincinnati offense is one to target. And Quintana's a guy that I don't know, like, what's wrong with him right now. Like, he's not has not been the same, but it's just a really cheap price tag on a guy that I want to buy in on and be a believer in. And this offense is just so bad. I think he's interesting. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely think Quintana's interesting. I mean, he hasn't been as good as I thought he was going to be long term when he came over from the White Sox. But I have a little bit of interest. But one of the guys I don't want to pick on in this Reds lineup, Mr. Eugenio Suarez. My goodness, he's been on fire most of the year. So if there's anybody that I would maybe take from this Reds offense, it would be him. And maybe Billy Hamilton, especially if he can get on base and snag a few bags. But overall, no interest in the Reds offense outside of Suarez. And then with Mr. Quintana, I have some slight interest, especially with his price on DraftKings at 7,100. I think that's very reasonable. I think that's a very safe price for him. I mean, he hasn't been stellar this season, but overall, I definitely think he could get the job done tomorrow. And you know he's going to have the run support with the Cubs going to get Sal Romano. So, yep, that's all I've got on him.
Yeah, for sure. Agree with you on that. Ready to go to the next one?
Absolutely.
We got the Miami Marlins, the Atlanta Braves, your Atlanta Braves, 8.5 total, Jose Urena against Sean Newcomb. And I'm a big Newcomb fan, definitely not looking forward to going up against him, for like the next whatever round of years it's going to be. Newcomb's with the Braves. So he's kind of a guy that I like. But the problem is the Marlins are not an offense that I really like to target too much. I think it's just a day where, you know, Newcomb at his price at 11.5K on DraftKings at 9.2K on FanDuel, I think I just stay away. It's not that I don't like the kid, but that pesky Marlins offense can be a problem. And then on the opposite side, man, have to love this Braves offense against Jose Urena, who's been getting hit hard. Would you agree on that?
Absolutely. And I know a lot of people are probably starting to abandon ship. The Braves have been pretty cold here recently, especially at home. It's been really, really weird watching them play. They go on the road, they score 10 runs, they come home, they score 5 or 2 or 3. So it's been really interesting watching them play. But against Mr. Jose Urena, I have a lot of interest in his Braves offense. Let's not stop the train now. I mean, you look at this lineup top to bottom, Albies, Acuna, Freeman, the best hitter on the team so far this year, Mr. Nick Markakis. Ender Inciarte has been playing pretty well as of late. So, yeah, I've got a lot of interest in this Braves offense against Urania. I actually think the Vegas total might be a little wonky on this one. Just because they've got the Braves at pushing 5 runs, and they've just been so ineffective. But definitely think they could light the barn on fire here.
Yeah, definitely an offense I want to target, especially, you know, free money Freddie against a really bad pitcher. Here's a question for you, and I kind of figured he probably had good BVP. Are you a BVP guy? You know, you got to tell the people, right? You got to take a stand. In this industry, you have to either be team BVP or not. That's what they tell you. But what's your take on BVP? You a fan of it?
Well, I don't want to say I'm on both sides of it. I understand both sides of it. I want to see a few more at bats. So I'm not the 3 at bats, 2 home runs type BVP guy. But if you've got, you know, pushing 20, 30 at bats against a pitcher and I'm starting to see some consistency, then I'll typically buy in. But outside of BVP, if a pitcher's bad, I want to target you. So BVP or no BVP, I'll target Jose Urania every start.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Freddie Freeman better have good BVP, right? He's 6-for-14 with a home run. He's got 4 walks. He's going to crush Urania tomorrow. Feels like we're getting a Freddie Freeman home run tomorrow. So obviously like him in this spot, going to be a guy to target, but they're just expensive. That's the problem. I love this Braves stack, but they're starting to get a little pricey, that Albies, Acuna, and Freeman stack. And that'll lead you obviously to having to play kind of cheaper pitchers. So that's the only problem with the Braves stack right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Anything else in this game? I just don't think we play any of these Marlins. We just kind of, you know, go on from there and go to the next game.
Well, you know, I don't want to play the Marlins, but one weakness we've had this year, our bullpen's just been god-awful. You know, we've had several games where we've blown up. So, I mean, if something just happens to blow up with Newcomb here and they get in the 6th and 7th inning and can string together some runs, especially with the reverse splits of Newcomb, Justin Bour, someone I'll have some interest in as a one-off, and JT Realmuto, two guys that have shown some consistency in this lineup. And the only reason why, Travis, is because you look, it's going to possibly be in the high 80s tomorrow. The humidity is going to be up. So, you know, when it's great hitting weather like that, I try to look at both sides and see what advantages we can take. And I definitely think Justin Bour and JT Realmuto are two guys we may be able to look at tomorrow in this game.
All right. That's fine. Not my cup of tea, but hey, that's all you. I don't know. I haven't played the Marlins. Actually, I think I played them once this year. That's it, though. But won't be the spot for me. But hey, obviously don't hate that analysis. Obviously makes sense for sure. Let's go on to the next game. New York Yankees, Kansas City Royals. This is an 8.5 total. We got Luis Severino against Danny Duffy. And man, looking at a bad lefty and Danny Duffy against this Yankees offense that has all these high-powered righties. You know, we talked about liking the Boston offense for obvious reasons, but man, I'm kind of thinking the Yankees offense is one I'd rather get more exposure to on this slate. What's your take on this game? I guess first talk about the Yankees offense, and then we'll go on to the Severino after.
Absolutely, this is by far and away one of the top offenses on the slate. You know, you've got Judge, you've got Stanton, and just a little peek into my personal notebook. You know, the Yankees have kind of been a letdown today against Mr. Jacob Junis, and now they get Mr. Danny Duffy coming to town. Definitely think that the Yankees are on board for a big splash play here. Gary Sanchez, even Hicks, one of their better hitters at the bottom, Gleyber Torres, has just been on fire for half of the year. Andahar, maybe they'll play Austin tomorrow. Definitely got a lot of interest in this Yankees offense from top to bottom, to a guy that's been really susceptible to fly balls and home runs.
Yeah, that notebook you have, spiral notebook, three-ring binder, what do you got over there?
Oh, man, this is a spiral notebook that I keep with me at all times, right? Everything in it. It's my fantasy Bible.
Yeah, you're old school then. You're going on the pen and paper, no spreadsheet life. Man, that's interesting.
Well, no. I mean, I've got my own sports models and everything like that, but these are just little notes I like to take that kind of keep me honest, you know, day to day.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, sometimes writing stuff down helps you remember it more too. So that's definitely something I know for sure. But yeah, love this Yankees offense. This is an offense that we got to be targeting here. Again, I want to get exposure to them. On the opposite side, I mean, Severino's been phenomenal this year. And if we look, I mean, hey, we get this awful Royals offense. I mean, this seems like an absolute perfect spot to just dominate. Like, it's tough because I love Max Scherzer at the top, but man, Severino is kind of interesting against this Royals team. I mean, this is not an offense to be feared. I'm not thinking that, you know, he's gonna get blown up at all. It's like, if Kansas City, you know, hits him, I'd be absolutely shocked totally. So you look at the K percentage, that's the one thing that you worry about though, right? I know Severino is really, really talented, but this year, at least in 2018, their strikeout percentage against righties is 13.9%, against lefties is 15.5%. That is my one worry. I know it's a small sample just this year, but we're starting to get to the point where the sample's getting big enough where, I don't know, I just think Max is probably the better option over Severino because I worry about the upside for strikeouts. Sure, he's going to be safe. I think Severino will pitch efficiently, but do you worry about the strikeout upside of Severino like I do?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be your main concern there, the low strikeout rate on these guys. But the other thing that gives me a little bit more interest in Severino, if Scherzer ends up not pitching tomorrow, I mean, these guys' ISO is just incredibly low. I mean, you look up and down this team, John Jay, Soler, and I know some people think Soler is the next coming in Giancarlo Stanton. Let me tell you, folks, this guy's not that good. You know, Whit Merrifield, Alex Gordon, these guys, the ISOs are so low. So I don't see any balls leaving the yard, which gives me a lot of interest in Severino. You know, a guy that's been really efficient, can probably get you a strikeout per inning. And if he's pitching well, they're going to leave him in the game. So, you know, he could end up going 7-8 innings and possibly go the distance. So Severino is someone I definitely have a lot of interest in.
All right, I'm guessing no interest in that. No interest in the not Rays. No interest in the Royals bats. Just move on from this one and go to the next game.
Yeah, not much interest there.
All right, we got two games left in the slate, and still pretty good ones. Again, more pitchers I think the like. We got Sergio Romo against Andrew Heaney, and you know, the Rays offense is not one I've been targeting a ton this year. I've been kind of been worried about it, but Andrew Heaney is an interesting option at this price tag. I think he's someone to consider. I mean, 7.7K on FanDuel, on DraftKings, 9.1. It feels pricey, but Heaney's been really good, and this Rays offense is, you know, again, it's not one I've been targeting this year, but it's not one that I'm afraid of. Do you have any interest in Heaney? And on the opposite side, that Angels offense is a high-powered offense. It seems like against Romo, we want to get some exposure, right?
Absolutely. Andrew Heaney, I mean, we saw what he did to Houston in the last game. This Rays offense is nothing that's going to make me shy away. You know, maybe I'll take a CJ Cronin or Wilson Ramos, guys that have a little power. But outside of those guys, this offense doesn't scare me at all. And with his strikeout potential, definitely someone I think you can look at, especially at a very efficient price of 7.7 on FanDuel. Definitely someone I think you can look at there. And then, you know, you go over the DraftKings, he's 9,100. I think that's very expensive. But on FanDuel 7,700, I think that's someone you can take a look at. And then you look at this Angels offense. I mean, my goodness, what's not to like here against Mr. Sergio Romo? I mean, you got Trout, Cozart back at the top because Kinsler was having some struggles. Upton, I even like Pujols for good contact. Andrelton Simmons, one of their more consistent hitters. I think this is a very good offense to attack tomorrow and probably will go a little overlooked because they're playing a lot later in the day.
Yeah, definitely agree with you on that. Anything else to talk about in this game? I don't have much else to say. I'm definitely a huge believer in this Angels offense just in general. I think if you told me to stack them up today and they'd go under own, I would agree. It probably will happen, right? Wind looks like it might be blown out in this game too. It might be like 70 degrees, so that's obviously nice. I just think this could be an under own offense that people don't really target, and I think they could be interesting. It's just, again, I know it's not the sexiest play. There's other offenses like the Yankees, the Cubs, the Red Sox, but those are completely going around. So I kind of think they're interesting as a tournament stack here. Do you agree?
Absolutely, absolutely. The only thing might what kind of temper my ownership is they've just been really cold lately. It looks like they've been averaging about 1.3 runs their last three games. A lot of that probably has to do with a couple of the pitchers they've been facing, but I'm definitely not afraid of Mr. Romo. So Angels are definitely someone we can look at.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Let's move on to the last game of the night. And we got the Detroit Tigers and we got the Seattle Mariners. And this is Mike Fiers versus James Paxton, another guy who is really interesting on this slate. Again, 9.4K on FanDuel, 12.2K on DraftKings. One of those aces that I think we have to talk about. This is a Tigers offense that I like to target, but they are kind of right-handed heavy. What's your take on this game?
Well, I mean, James Paxton's been pitching pretty well this year, very well, actually. One of the things that scares me with this game that some people may not agree with, as bad as this Detroit offense is on paper, they haven't been striking out a lot. And that's the one thing that really scares me with this offense. I mean, you think you can stream pitchers against them, and then you look and they're getting three strikeouts, five strikeouts, and not producing. So with Paxton's elite talent, definitely wouldn't mind rolling him out against Detroit. But, you know, I would be a little weary there with their team only striking out combined this particular possible lineup at about 19.2%. You know, I definitely think that Paxton is someone I may have in my number two slot tomorrow rather than my number one spot.
Yeah, so how about we rank them real quick for the people? Let's say Max is on the slate. We got Max, Severino, Paxton, and Corbin. I'm not including Newcomb in this conversation. I like Sean Newcomb, but he's not getting that right to be in there yet.
Right, yeah, not an ace yet.
Yeah. I mean, Corbin's just been so phenomenal. I know I don't want to put Corbin in there that much too, but I feel like we have to at least in this spot, especially against the Mets. But how do you rank those guys? Rank those four. For me, I got Max first. I got Paxton, I think, second, then Corbin, and then Severino. I could see maybe flipping Paxton and Corbin, but what's your opinion on the order you'd put them in?
Yeah, I'd probably take Max up top. Believe it or not, I think I'd take Corbin in my number two. I know I just said Paxton would probably be my number two. I think I'd take Corbin because the Mets are going to strike out a little bit more. And then I think I'd take Paxton, then Severino. I think that'd be my order for tomorrow.
Yeah, that Paxton versus Corbin at the two is the tough one. And you get a discount, too, on DraftKings. Let's see what the FanDuel price difference is. On FanDuel, the price difference is $600. Paxton is $600 cheaper. And then on DraftKings, Paxton is $1,000 more. So you can obviously pick your spots on each site if you want to. But, yeah, that's going to be definitely a tough one to debate between those two guys. Anything else in this game? We didn't talk about the bats a ton. Mike Fiers is definitely a home run prone guy. Someone that I think we'd target against. I kind of like Mitch Haniger as a little sneaky guy that hit a home run here against Fiers. Fiers gives a lot of hard contact against righties. I think this could be an interesting spot for him. Any Seattle bats that you like?
Absolutely. Seattle is one of those teams throughout the year. If you can catch some lightning in a bottle on the right slate, they can definitely win you a tournament. They're typically playing in that 9, 10 o'clock slot where people want to check their winnings and see how they're doing before they go to bed. And, I mean, you know, you look at this lineup, Gene Segura, Mitch Haniger, Ryan Healy, Mike Zunino. Mike Zunino strikes out a little bit more than I would like, but this guy hits for a lot of power. You take some of these righties and sign me up against Michael Fiers, who hasn't been pitching well this year. Definitely think this Seattle Mariners has some tournament winning upside for our slate tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about Segura, too. Stolen base upside, too, on top of that. Detroit Tigers giving up 3 stolen bases this year so far with Fiers. Last year with the Astros, he gave up 18. The year before that, only 5. I mean, it's up and down, but I don't know. It could be interesting to see I think there's some stolen base upside for Segura. So, yeah, I think that call's fine there. Any final thoughts, or do you want to go on to the last segment? We talk about the stack of the day. I don't know if you listen to Weekend Grind much, but we do the stack of the day, and we pick our favorite stack. If you are, you know, rolling out one lineup for the day, who's the team that you like the most? Who's the team that you want to kind of load up on here? So, yeah, what's your favorite stack of the day, or do you want me to go first?
I'm going to let you take this one. I think we're going to be on opposite ends of the spectrum, so I'll let you take it.
All right. So, man, I mean, I'm a pretty chalky player, but I'm going to go back. I'm just going to do the game stack. I know I'm giving you two here, but that Rangers-White Sox game is I'm just loading up on. It was my favorite stack yesterday. It kind of got burned by making a 2-2 swap off it a little bit, but I still won money yesterday, but it cost me a little bit. Could have been a bigger night. But I'm going to go back to the well. I like the way that these teams line up. I think targeting this Texas bullpen is going to be fun. I think targeting Giolito is going to be a blast. So give me that Texas Rangers and White Sox game. I'm loading up on that. That's my stack of the day. Normally, you only have to pick one, but I'm giving you both. I'm giving you the entire game stack. What about you, Will?
You know, this is going to sound very interesting. But I think my stack on the day, just based on some info that I love to dive into, I'm going to take Boston. I think Boston's going to be my stack of the day. They're going to go a lot lower owned because of that pricing. And listen, man, I don't know how much you're in the Statcast data, but that's one of my prime time things that I like to look at. And I mean, Dylan Bundy over the past, you know, three or four starts, averaging exit velocity 96 miles per hour, fly ball rate at 50%, hard hit rate at 50%, average distance at about 260. Sign me up for the Red Sox against a guy that's been struggling to kind of find his way the past few starts. I know he had a good out in the last game, but this is the Boston Red Sox. So I think Boston is going to be my stack of the day for consistency and upside.
Yeah, I mean, I love StatCast data. I mean, we could team up like the Dudley boys. That's how much I like StatCast data. You know, we can grab a table and put Dylan Bundy through it, basically. So love the StatCast data, man. I'm all about it. Love all the stuff that's in the Plate IQ with like the CX MOBA with that. I don't know if you've checked that out, but I'm all about looking into that. I love finding guys who are hitting the ball hard. Obviously, those are guys who are going to hit home runs, right? If you're going to hit a home run, it's going to be hit hard. So I want guys who are hitting the ball hard and hitting it far. So I love that. And I think the Red Sox are a great stack. And the one thing that is just they're gonna be so expensive. They're going to be tough to make work. So it's going to be one of those things where you're going to have to be sitting there tinkering with that team, keep going and going and trying making it work. But that could obviously make them go on their own because people get sick of, you know, they're building their Red Sox stacks and they just throw their hands in the air and you'll kind of move on to the cheaper one. That happens. So I've done it before and then I kick myself later. So like that call. Any final thoughts on the slate before we get on out of here, Will? It was great to have you on here and hopefully can have you back soon.
Yeah, same here, man. No more thoughts. You know, everybody, you know, make sure you conserve your bankroll and let's go out there and have some fun tomorrow.
All right. Again, thanks a lot for joining us, Will. He does not have a Twitter for some reason. He's a crazy person. I'm Travis Mangone. You can follow me at Travis Mangone. It's TravisMangone. And we are out of here.